This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yeah, I'll introduce him one more time. So Imam Abdul Bari Yahya was born in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And very soon after that, he emigrated to the United States with his family. He grew up in Seattle, Washington, and went to primary and secondary schools there. And then went on to the Islamic University of Medina and joined the College of Sharia. He returned to Vietnam and also went to Cambodia and became a teacher and director of the Revival of Islamic Heritage Society in Cambodia and the Ummul Qura charity organization in Vietnam. He resides in Seattle with his family. He's an instructor at Al Maghrib Institute, which is an organization that offers double weekend seminars leading to a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies. He is the imam of the Masjid Jami'ul Muslimin in Seattle and is the president of the Cham Refugee Community and the vice president of the Islamic Center of Washington State. I would like to invite Imam Abdul Bari Yahya to give his talk.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. We ask one of our teachers, this was in Medina, what's the most difficult hadith to follow? What's the most difficult hadith of the words and advices of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow? I want you to think about that. What do you think is the most difficult hadith to follow? It's a very good question, isn't it? We asked him, he said, I feel that the most difficult hadith to follow is the one in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا فَأَعْطِي كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Indeed, your Lord has a right upon you. And your family has a right upon you. And you, yourself, you have a right upon yourself also. So give each entity or each person or each entity that has a right upon you, their appropriate rights. This is what we call balance in Islam. And in Islam, you have to understand, it is the most balanced of all the religions. It is the most balanced of all ideologies. And that's why the more firmly you hold on to Al-Islam, the more balanced you'll be. The more firmly you hold on to the correct Islam, then the more balanced you'll be. And so, we have a great scholar, inshallah, that we will be speaking about tonight or today. And he is an example in everything that we can think of relating to good deeds. When you speak about his piety and righteousness, he's amongst them. When you speak about those who sacrifice, he's amongst them. When you speak about those who are generous, then he is also amongst them. When you speak about the scholars of hadith, he is amongst them. When you speak about the scholars of fiqh, he is amongst them. When you speak about people who benefit others and give, he's amongst them. When you speak about those who are in the front line, in the Muslim army, he's amongst them. So who is this great scholar? Who is this great name? It is Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was born in Marr. This is an area in present-day Turkmenistan, in that particular area. And that area was known for a lot of people, or a lot of scholars residing and coming from that area. Remember the whole area, the scholars of hadith and so forth, specifically, they were from there. And you know, it starts off when you have somebody who's pious and someone who's righteous. It starts off, of course, with the parents. So that's why if someone asks, how can I have pious children? How can I have pious children? It doesn't start after you have the children. It doesn't start after you have the children. There's a brother who came and asked the sheikh. He said, sheikh, and his wife was pregnant. His wife was pregnant. He said, sheikh, how can I have a pious son that's so obedient, just like your son, because his son used to always was very, very obedient to him. And so he told him it's too late. So he's thinking, what are you talking about? My wife is just pregnant now. How is it too late already? He said, no, it's too late already for you. So what he taught him was too late. He said, it starts not now. You should have asked this question before you got married. Wallahu alam, how his wife was or whatever. But the sheikh said, you should start this question before you got married. Because it starts with seeking a pious spouse. Somebody who is pious. That will raise your children with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, his father, Abdullah ibn Mubarak's father, was a person who used to work for a qadi, for one of the judges. His name was Nuh ibn Maryam. And he had a very, very beautiful daughter, very pious and righteous. Everyone wanted to marry her. Many men asked for her hand in marriage, but he didn't give his daughter off to those people. And so there was a person who worked for him. And he went, he asked him, he said, go and get me some sweet grapes. Give me some sweet grapes. So he went and he gave the qadi some grapes. He ate it. He said, these are sour grapes. I told you to get sweet grapes. So he went and got some other different type of grapes. He got some more grapes. And he gave it to him. The qadi said, these are sour grapes. Can't you recognize? Can't you tell? I mean, this is where you work. All day you're there. You can't differentiate between sweet grapes and sour grapes. So he told him, he said, how am I supposed to know? I have been ordered to take care of the grapes, not to eat them. He never ate them because he didn't want to be responsible for that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was told to take care of the grapes. For us, we'd probably, you're hungry, just take some already. And the thing, right? Not even thinking about it. But his wara, his cautiousness, his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never even tasted the grapes. He didn't know which grapes were sour, which grapes were sweet. And so when the qadi heard that from him, he knew that this was a pious man. Someone who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when he's alone, he is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he married his daughter off to this man. And this was the father of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And of course, so his wife was already pious and righteous. And so he grew up in a righteous family. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and a family that grew up with knowledge, a family that grew up with Quran, and a family that grew up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of the halal earnings and so forth, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the family. So sometimes when you see that your children are disobedient to you and they're not listening to you, one thing that you need to check is your source of income. Where is it coming from? Because if you're giving them things that are haram, then it is more likely that they would be disobedient to you. If you're giving things that are halal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the wealth that you have, and blesses your family, and blesses your children also. And so check that. And that's why the great scholars of the past, like Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And who is Imam al-Bukhari? You guys know. Everyone knows his name, right? He is a man that, mashallah, puts the whole ummah at peace. When the khatib mentions a hadith, he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And then you hear a hadith, and it might sound strange to you, or you might not recognize it. As soon as you hear رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِ, you're at peace. You're happy, and there's a smile on your face. Alhamdulillah. You know what he said? He spoke about his father. And his father said, because his father passed away, but he mentioned about his wealth. His father said, his father was a merchant. And he said, the wealth that I have here, not a single penny or not a single dirham of it has come from haram. He made sure of that. And this is the wealth, of course, that his mother used to take care of Al-Imam al-Bukhari from when he was very, very young. So the first thing that you need to check when you see that people or you see the attitude in your family and your children are changing is check yourself and check the source of income, check the food that you're giving them, check the clothing that you have. And then you might say, well, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, you know, to give me a halal source of income. But you know what? You have to leave that first. You have to leave the haram source first. Why? Because when you continue to put haram in your body and then you say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a traveler who was on a very, very long trip. And he'd been traveling for a very, very long time. He raises his hands and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, O Allah, O Allah, O my Lord, O my Lord, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram, fa anna yustajabu lah. His food is haram, his clothes are haram, and he is nourished from haram. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to accept his supplication? And so when you are still putting haram in your body, and you're supplicating, that's one of the ways of not having your supplication be accepted. So leave that first. Make the conviction to look for something that's halal, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for halal blessings and halal provisions. Because that's something that's very important. Because when a person commits sins and so forth, you can see the attitude of your children, your family change as a result of the sins. And that is why we have to be careful of that. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he was a very, very wealthy person. He was very wealthy. Allah blessed his wealth. Do you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his wealth? It was because he was very, very generous. He was very, very generous. So much so that, of course, there are many incidents and many cases. He was a person that was wealthy, but he used his wealth in the obedience of Allah. He used his wealth in helping others. And he used his wealth in providing and giving to the people of knowledge, and to the people who are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. One time, every year he would make hajj, or every year he would alternate. He would make hajj 1 year, and he would join the Muslim army 1 year. So he would alternate. This was the kind of person that he was. When it came to any good deeds, he was the first in doing so. And so he would alternate. 1 year he would join the Muslim army in the forefront, and the other year he would make hajj. This is what he would do. And so he would bring a group of people to make hajj. And he would say, give me all your wealth right now, all the money that you have, let me hold it for you. And so the people who are joining him, they think that he's holding the money for them, and when they need it, he'll give them back his money. Okay, he'll give them back their money. So they go on this trip, and he tells them, when you need any money, anytime you need, just come to me and I'll give it to you. Anything that you need. So all of them, they think that he's giving them back their own money. Right? So they go make hajj, they finish hajj, whenever they need something to buy anything during that trip, or to do anything at all, he would give them the money. And then they all returned, but what they didn't realize, what the money that he took from them, he kept it in a safe place, in different pouches, and then when they came back, he gave them all their money back. All their money back, and he said, the hajj trip for the whole group is on me. He paid for all their hajj. And so this was the scholar. This was the scholar. Most people, they think that a person who is in the masjid or so forth and helping out, they have to be poor and things like that. But in Islam, you have to understand, is it better to be poor and patient or rich and thankful? Some of the scholars have said, no, it is better to be poor and patient. Because when a person is in a state of poverty and he's patient, he will be amongst the people who enter paradise 500 years, according to one of the narrations of hadith. So they use this as proof. They said he'll enter paradise, Jannah, 500 years before the rich people. So the poor people will enter, if they're going to enter paradise 500 years before the rich people, then they must be better, right? Others have said, no, it's not. That's not the case. A person who is wealthy and is thankful. When we say thankful, what do we mean by thankful? When you're wealthy and you're thankful, it means that you're generous and you're helpful towards others. Because anytime you're thankful for a blessing that Allah has bestowed upon you, in order for you to show that thankfulness, you spend it in the path of Allah. If you want to show your thankfulness for your health, then you use the energy and strength that you have in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how you show thankfulness for what you have. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would stand up to pray until his feet were swollen. And when he was asked by Aisha radiallahu anha, hasn't Allah already forgiven your past and future sins? Why did you stand up in such a way? Because she was compassionate towards him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدٍ شَكُورًا? Should I not be a thankful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning Allah subhanahu has given me, made me a prophet and messenger. Should I not be thankful by standing up and spending that time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increasing it? And that's why many of the companions, when they were given the glad tidings of paradise, their worship only improved. You know, maybe some of us, if we were in that situation or in that case, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to say to us, for example, you're going to be in paradise, you got a ticket in paradise, you're guaranteed paradise, what do you think? Do whatever you want, now you're already guaranteed paradise. What would you do? Some of us would probably say, yeah, party time. Right? Party time. The companions, they didn't do that. They increased their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they were thankful for that great blessing. So it only increased them in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if you want Allah subhanahu, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase any blessings that you have, then spend those blessings in the obedience of Allah and be thankful for them. And your thankfulness, by doing so, you should spend that in the obedience of Allah. And that's why no matter what Allah subhanahu gives you, then be thankful for it. And when you're thankful, Allah increases it for you. Allah increases it for you. So, you know, every morning I look in the mirror, and I say, Abdul Bari, you're so handsome. Oh Allah, just as you have perfected my features, also perfect my character. Right? Do you see the result? MashaAllah. So be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you, and He will increase it for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for you. And so, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he spent his wealth in the obedience of Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased it for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased it for him. So sometimes, you know, you hear a fundraiser, right? You hear a fundraiser and you see a brother or a sister, they raise their hand, well, I'll give 100,000. I'll give 100,000. And so he's giving 100,000, you say, MashaAllah. You know, if I had money like him, I'd probably give 100,000 also. See, you see that? He had money, that's why he gave. No. Most people don't understand. It's not that he had money, that's why he gave. He gave, that's why he has money. You don't understand. People think incorrectly. The reason why he has money is because he's generous. And he gave. And the reason why you don't have so much is because you're sitting there and wishing you had the money instead of giving. So he gave, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him more. And so with the correct intention, with the pure intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person's wealth. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he said, Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned this in Sir Alam al-Nubala. He said to Al-Fudayl, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad was Imam in Mecca at that time. Imam in Mecca at that time. He said, لَوْ لَكَ وَأَصْحَابُكَ مَتَّجَرْتُ. He said, if it weren't for you and your companions, meaning you and your students, if it wasn't for you and your students, I wouldn't need to do business. I wouldn't need to be buying and selling things and doing this. What does that mean? It means the reason why he is putting himself in position where he's buying and selling and doing all the business that he's doing is so that he can support the scholars, so that he can support the students of knowledge. And so that was his intention. And one of the greatest ways, one of the best ways to increase your provision is to provide for those who study and seek knowledge and those who are conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about his brother. His brother, he said to the effect, you know, my brother, all he does is seek knowledge. And I'm the one that has to bring in the bread. And I'm the one that has to take care of him and the family. All he does is seek knowledge. So he came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to him, maybe the reason why you're getting money and you're getting that rizq is because of your brother. It's because of him seeking knowledge that that Allah is providing for you. So don't go blaming him. The reason why you're getting that rizq is because you're supporting him. So one of the ways to increase the blessings is to spend it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially those who are learning the deen, learning Islam, the Islamic schools, the teachers, the students of knowledge, and those who are conveying this message of La ilaha illallah. If you want to increase, this is what Abdullah ibn Mubarak did. And because of that intention, Allah increased it for him. I mean, who? I want to ask right now, who would be able to bring a whole group and pay for everyone in that group, for everything in that group? You got to have a lot of money to do so. And so that good intention also. And it was said that he used to, every single year, he used to give 100,000 dirhams. Most of us, we think, how much is 100,000 dirhams? 100,000 dirhams, when you're looking at the prices of silver that we have now, every single year, he used to give around $2 million. U.S. dollars, so that's how much is that? A little bit more, right? Just a little bit more, over $2 million every year to the poor. Forget about, we're not talking about the scholars and the students of knowledge, that's something else. And so one person, and also, he also used to look for people who are good and used to help them, provide for them. Now we're not talking about here, this person is just a merchant here. He was a merchant. But he was a scholar of hadith. Now you might say, how could he do all of this? How could he do all of this? He was a scholar. He was a person who was in the front line. He led the people in Hajj, and he was also known for his piety and righteousness and so forth. How was he able to do all of this? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person's time and wealth. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses your time and wealth, that's when you make use of it. So sometimes you might think, oh, you know what? I don't have a lot of time. You know, if you don't have a lot of time, this is what you do. If you feel that you don't have a lot of time and the time that you have is going fast, especially nowadays, right? Nowadays it seems like time is going so much faster. You wake up in the morning, all of a sudden you notice it's 3 o'clock already in the afternoon. Or before you know it, it seems just that the week just began, now it's almost Friday already. Or it's been a month since something happened already. It seems like time has gone so fast. You know, the reason is because of us not devoting ourselves in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we devote ourselves in the worship of Allah, Allah increases our time and blesses the time that we have. You know, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, He used to finish one third of the Quran every single day after Maghrib prayer. After Maghrib prayer is how long? How long is it after Maghrib prayer? How much time do you have? About an hour and a half, right? An hour and a half max. An hour and a half, could you finish Surah Al-Baqarah? And then we're not talking about one third of the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah. You would have a hard time trying to finish Surah Al-Baqarah in that time, right? It would be difficult for you. He finished one third of the Quran. Was he reading really fast? No, he wasn't. Why was he able to finish only the time that's after Maghrib only? He could finish one third. When we can't even finish Surah Al-Baqarah. The scholars have said the reason is because sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person's time. And it's not strange to have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that person's time, where his time, even if it's a small amount of time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very beneficial for him. And so, he was approached, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, was approached by a man who came to him and said, oh Abdullah, Imam, why do you give to such and such towns and you don't give to this town? Why don't you give all your wealth to this town? Why are you sending it, your money, to this particular town? And so he said, because I look for people who are good, who are known for their piety and righteousness and truthfulness, and their zeal in seeking knowledge. And so I try my very best to help those people, and so I send it to them. And if I did not send it to them, because these are the people who are conveying the knowledge. These are the people who are learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if I don't support them, then this ummah will be lost. This ummah will be lost. And so that's why he would send money where he would see that people are spending their time in the worship of Allah and also spending their time in conveying the message and learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he was a person that we can learn from when it comes to balancing our time and balancing and how we can be balanced in our daily lives. The first thing we have to realize is that any one of us here, if we make that conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change us. Abdullah Mubarak rahimahullah, in one of the in some narrations that have come to us, he was asked about the time that he really became good, I mean, another time that he changed. He said,